So one of the things we tackle a lot with my coaching sessions is time management. That's one thing I hear a lot of moms, you know, where they're like, I just don't know how to have, like, how do you have time to do this? Because you only have so many hours in a day. And a lot of them will say things like, oh, I wish I'd started this before I had kids, because then I'd have more time.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests in Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. Today's episode is about moms, particularly mompreneurs and women who are wanting to or are already in business while they're also at home raising kids. I think this is such a big segment of society that a lot of people don't realize, and it's a growing segment of society. And so I think it's something that's really important that we talk about, the possibilities, the resources that are out there for moms that are also wanting to run their own businesses. To have this conversation with me, I have Kendra Swalls with me from Dallas. She is the founder of Girl Means Business, which is a marketing and coaching business, as well as an awesome podcast. So Kendra, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start off with just defining, how do you define a mompreneur? And did you create that word?
Oh, no, I wish I could take credit for that. So mompreneur is a woman who is building a business, but also is raising their family, whether that means that she is sometimes working a full-time 9-to-5 job, raising a family and growing her business kind of in the late night hours, or she's a stay-at-home mom who is building a business in between like nap times and daycares and all the things. And so it's a term that kind of encompasses the person who is doing it all and is trying to do something that is her own while still being mom.
Yeah. One of the things that I despise is that we don't really have like good language to talk about women who, like, what do women do that are not in a traditional 9-to-5 job? And I feel so guilty oftentimes when I'm talking to somebody and like our best bet, which is a terrible bet, is to say like, oh, do you work? When in the back of my mind, it's like, you work way harder than me. Like my job of like not taking care of kids and sitting in my office and coordinating with our team and producing podcasts is way easier than raising dogs, much less kids. And so I think this is really important that we begin to like redefine how we look at women that are working maybe in non-traditional ways. How, what are some of the maybe obstacles or challenges that you feel like women are facing as they are embracing this idea of like, okay, I want to run a business. I want to start doing a side hustle or wanting to do more, in the professional scene than maybe is traditional.
Yeah. I think exactly what you said is a good point, that there's not a good bank of language and terms and ways to have these conversations that don't kind of teeter on like this awkward conversation. And I fell into this. I was just recently on a field trip with my oldest daughter and I met a couple of the other parents that were there and I wanted to know, like, you know, what do you do for a living? But I don't want to be like, so do you work or do you stay home? Because like you said, it doesn't have to be one or the other. So I think that's a big piece of it, is I would love to find, as a society, new ways to have those conversations. I also think that there is a huge struggle with moms who are working, whether that be starting a business or even if they work outside the home, of guilt. You know, we hear this term of like mom guilt. I know a lot of people get triggered when they put mom or like woman or female in front of different titles, but there is this thing with mom guilt that's like, okay, I'm not doing enough or I'm doing too much. it's like we're constantly being pulled in all these different directions. And that can be really hard. And I see that that causes a lot of women to doubt themselves, to question what they're doing, to question what they're capable of doing, and to make themselves kind of smaller than they really need to be. Because they have these great ideas, they have this ambition, they have this drive. And it's like all of a sudden you become a mom, and rightly so, that shifts a little bit because now you're raising these humans. But at the same time, like, you were still somebody before you were mom, and we need to remember that. But it's this constant kind of tug and pull of like, what do I want to be? What do I want to be as an example to these kids? And then how do I want society to perceive me as well?
Yeah. And I think you said that really, really well. I believe that self-awareness is so important in this situation. And if anybody listening to this, if there's anything that I say that's like not politically correct or insensitive, I do apologize. I'm a man who owns a business, and I like am having a hard time sometimes navigating, like, how do we address these cultural stereotypes? And I think that my desire is that we all can be more self-aware, and that if moms want to just focus on raising their kids, then they do that with everything that they have. And if moms feel, I've talked to some people where they're like, we legitimately feel like us working and having a nanny, that's the best relationship. Like, that's the best thing for us. And so I think self-awareness is really, really huge. Mm-hmm. I imagine that there are some interesting challenges that you work with moms with as they're getting into this, like, okay, I want to start a business. What are some of the maybe like mindset shifts that moms, that you encourage moms to like work on and make as they're working on starting their business?
I think the first one is just the fact that like you're capable of doing this. I grew up with parents who, I didn't realize it, but they were essentially entrepreneurs. They ran a family business that, you know, was generations old, but they ran this business. They kind of brought it into this new era of technology and websites and online business. And so I had a great example of parents who did that, but a lot of people, especially moms that are, not necessarily millennial parents, but kind of in that, I guess, you know, I would say my age, 30s, that, you know, mid 30s and stuff. We didn't grow up with the example of entrepreneurship as a career. Like when you had career day growing up, you didn't have entrepreneurs coming in. You had doctors and lawyers and teachers and all these people, these professions. Yeah. And so the first mindset block a lot of these women have is that creating a business and building a business doesn't have to look any certain or specific way. It's whatever works for you. That, you know, it doesn't have to be a brick and mortar. It doesn't have to be this big thing where you get like people investing in your business. It can literally be you, a laptop, and, you know, in my case with the podcast, me, a laptop and a microphone. You know, and so I think that's a big piece of it, is just the understanding of like that you're capable of doing this. It doesn't have to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I work on a lot is that imposter syndrome of, you know, who am I to do this? I did this a lot when I left my teaching career, because I had put a lot of, I guess, emphasis, or a lot of my who I was in what I did for a living. And so when I would introduce myself to people, I would say like, oh, I'm a teacher. And there was some pride in that. So when I left that career behind and started running my business, I found that I was saying to people, well, I used to be a teacher and now I do X, Y, and Z. And it was my husband who actually brought it to my attention. He was like, why do you do that? Why do you preface this with like, I used to be this? And I think as women, and we move to the phase of mom, you know, our identity kind of shifts. And so we feel like, okay, well, now my identity is tied to this role that I have as mom, but I don't necessarily want my identity to be mom. And just like you said, like some moms, like I'm a better mom because I work. If I was just a, you know, not that I won't say that. If I was a stay-at-home mom and didn't run my business, I think that I would not be the best version of mom and best version of me. And so understanding, and like you said, the self-awareness piece of, I am not just one thing. And I'm not tied to one identity. So whether you left a career behind or you're building a new business, that one thing is not your identity. So those are kind of, they kind of go hand in hand, but a lot of it is just coming to terms with the fact that you're capable of doing so many things. It's okay to do those things. It's okay to want more than what you currently have, and that you are not tied to one title in your life.
Yeah. And it's okay to do one thing. I think, yeah. You know, you and I both, like, we both kind of caught ourselves saying, like, just a stay at home. Like, there's all of these, like, words that we're so used to saying that put, like, certain people in certain categories. And again, I think one of the most important things we can realize is understand, like, let's try and get a better understanding of what we want out of our life. Mm-hmm. And let's build our life around that. And let's not care what people think. Let's not care what culture says. Let's do that. How did you get started in this? Tell us a little bit about your journey into entrepreneurship, or into mompreneurship, if you will.
Yeah. So I, like I said before, I was a teacher. So my kind of career path was I was going to be in education. I was teaching full time. I really loved it. I kind of started getting this sort of itch of like, there's something else I want to do. I want something a little bit more than just in the classroom. So I went back and got my master's degree. I had these plans of like, I was going to go into curriculum design. I was going to create curriculum for school districts. I was going to teach teachers how to be better teachers. And that was the path I was on. And then I found out that I was pregnant with my first daughter. I was in graduate school. I was pregnant, newlywed. We were married just a little over a year, and decided, hey, I want to start a business. I had always loved photography. It was a hobby of mine. I took some classes in college for fun. So I was like, you know, my husband has all these hobbies. I see all these people, all my teacher friends that have like these other things they enjoy doing, and I don't have that. So I picked up my camera. I started taking pictures, realized I really enjoyed learning and having something to kind of be a student at. And so I thought, you know, why this could be something that makes a little extra money. Teachers don't get paid a ton of money. And so I was like, this could be something I do to make a little extra, you know, spending money for travel or groceries, diapers, all those things, because we had the baby coming. And from there, that kind of grew like organically. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. It took several years, but I really enjoyed having that side business. It was just kind of a side hustle for a couple of years. And then we found out we were pregnant with our second daughter. I decided that I wanted to, like you said, kind of create the life that I wanted to live. And working, you know, for somebody else, working in a job that was kind of rigid with its schedule didn't fit the vision I had for my life. And so I busted my rear end and I got my photography business going to where I could leave my teaching job. That was able to bring in enough or more income than I had expected. And then I realized too, through that, I missed teaching, but I didn't miss it in the way I thought I did. And I was able to fulfill that kind of gap in that hole in my soul, I guess, with helping other women build a business because I had learned and through trial and error and all the things. And so I started doing coaching sessions and mentoring sessions that led to the podcast and led to where I am today.
That's awesome. I love that you have done it. Because now you're in the position where you're coaching other moms and helping them to start their businesses and helping them to grow them. I'm sure you and I, you know, we're both in the marketing space. We know that there is a lot of people that it's kind of like all of this revenue is just going in circles from like people selling courses on how to sell courses on how to sell courses on how to sell courses. And you're like, have any of you actually like built a business? So I love that you have done it. You've built a business as a mom, and now you're getting to help other people do the same.
Yeah.
What are some of the main things that some of the mompreneurs that are listening that you want them to know?
So one of the things we tackle a lot with my coaching sessions is time management. That's one thing I hear a lot of moms, you know, where they're like, I just don't know how to have, like, how do you have time to do this? Because you only have so many hours in a day. And a lot of them will say things like, I wish I'd started this before I had kids because then I'd have more time. But I think that, you know, that saying of like the things you want, you make time for, and that if you don't really want it, you make excuses. And so that's not the exact wording. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but
that's good wording. I like okay. that.
So I think that, you know, one of the things I work on a lot is time management. And so time blocking, finding time in your day, creating, you know, must-do list and then to-do list, you know, so you know exactly what you need to get done in a day, not thinking you can keep it all in your head. I used to think that I was like, oh, I know what I need to do today, or oh, I know what tasks I have. And then things would start to slip through the cracks, especially when you are trying to do 5 million things in a day, whether that's, you know, business, life, family, all the things. And so getting organized, having a plan for your day, and then, you know, some people really thrive in structure, and some that's, you know, like me, I like to have a little more fluidity in my day, but I have a general plan for my day. And so just getting organized, having that time management. And then the other thing I really work on with my clients is understanding that things don't happen overnight, that they take time. And so a lot of times they come in like, okay, I want to build this business. I know I've seen people do it. This person on Instagram has, you know, 20,000 followers and she just started her business a year ago. And I have to remind them, like, that's a totally different person. That's a different path that they're on. So stay focused on what you're doing and just know that an overnight success actually takes lots of time and energy and hard work. And so you have to be willing to put in the time, the energy, and the work.
Yeah, I love that. I heard somebody say not too long ago, they're like, yeah, I became an overnight success. It only took me 10 years.
Yes. yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such good advice. For some of the people that are listening, they might be in the position where they're wanting to start something. Others might be doing it as a side hustle and they're maybe considering taking it to the next step. Why is now the time to start something or to keep moving and take it to the next level, particularly for moms? Why is now the right time?
I think now is, I mean, we live in a time when, like, we have access to so much, which is a blessing and a curse, obviously, because it's a lot of information coming in. But you are, at any moment, you can go onto social media and you have access to the entire world. You know, you're not just limited anymore to, like, your local area. You know, I mean, when I first started teaching, I had friends who would sign up for these network marketing, multi-level marketing companies, and it was all about who they knew in their inner circle. And nowadays, you know, those same women are able to grow their businesses globally because they have access to so much more with social media and online marketing and things like that. So the technology aspect makes it a really good time to start. And then I think one of the best things to come out of the pandemic has been the fact that people now understand that these small businesses and these businesses that are built from, you know, guest rooms and garages and basements, like, they have credibility, they have, like, traction. And so some people might say, like, oh, it's a saturated market because of that. But I also think that means that there's more awareness, there's more people who are wanting to support small businesses and local businesses, who are willing to connect with small businesses and, you know, spread the word. And there's kind of this movement around that right now, you know, like, shop locals, shop small, that kind of thing. And so I think that helps to make it a really great time to get out there and start your business. It's definitely not, I think some people think, oh, I missed my window of opportunity, but that window is still wide open if you're wanting to go through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was really, that's so well said. A lot of people that they are starting their own businesses in these, you know, out of guest rooms or garages or living rooms, whatever it might be, it's easy to do it. It's easy to think that we should do it on our own, or it's easy to get into this silo where we're building our business on our own. And maybe we're vicariously living through our Instagram feed and we're watching these people on Instagram and TikTok that are doing their business, but we're not actually getting coaching. We're not actually interacting with other people. We're on our journey by ourselves. Why do you think it's really, really important that moms that are starting and building their businesses, that they get a team or that they get, like, people around them so they're not doing it on their own?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I love that I'm seeing more people talk about too, is just the fact that this isn't something you do by yourself, whether that means you are, like, literally hiring people to be a team and help you, especially as a mom, you know, I mean, even if that means not necessarily in your business, but like maybe you hire somebody to help you clean your house every 2 weeks so that you have more time. You're not spending your time doing all those things. Or, you know, like maybe you have somebody that comes and helps pick up your kids after school and gives you a couple hours at the end of the day to get more things done. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily mean you're hiring somebody within your business. Just nobody can do it all by themselves. And even some of these bigger named, you know, influencers and things are talking more about the team that they have, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. But aside from even like hiring people within your business, I think having a community of people that are supportive of you, that understand what you do. That was one of the things I really struggled with whenever I left the teaching world, was like, I went from having like 40 other people around me all day long or more, where I could literally walk across the hall and have a conversation with my teammate or have a conversation with a colleague, and to working by myself in my home with nobody to talk to. And that was tough. Mm-hmm. So I think finding communities and finding your, you know, this phrase drives me nuts, but finding your tribe of people that can come in and be like, I get it. I understand what you do. I live the same life. You know, I understand the struggles. Like, that's really helpful. And I have found that through some of these social media outlets. I have a group of women that I text with on a regular basis, and we all live in different parts of the country, and we've met up in person, and we've, you know, had like working trips together where we get together and brainstorm and help each other, and we support each other. We hold each other accountable. We check in with each other. And so I think having that is going to help you get out of your own way, help you get out of your own head when you get stuck in those moments of doubt and imposter syndrome. And so finding that, and then finding a team to help you to do the day-to-day tasks and accomplish the things in your business that you want to accomplish, is so beneficial. I think everyone needs to be willing to rely on other people, because you cannot do it by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. How are you helping moms for entrepreneurs? I want, you know, you to give a chance to just talk about what you're doing and what resources and programs you have to really support moms on this journey.
Yeah. Thank you. So, I mean, obviously I have my coaching services. So if someone wants to work with me, they can hire me one-on-one to do coaching with them. I have a couple of different ways that I set up my coaching. So depending on how much support they're wanting or needing, I kind of create custom packages for that. And then just even within my kind of community of mompreneurs that I've built on social media, I'm always trying to be kind of a connector. So helping women, like I said, kind of find their community, find their people, find their tribe. I share tons of resources, tips. I'm always about, you know, the educator in me is always giving value places where I can. I have, like I said, my podcast, where each week I'm sharing tips and conversations around business and marketing. And then my website, girlmeansbusiness.com. I have several resources on there as well that are available for people to go and check out, for moms to go and download or read or listen to, and help them to grow their business.
I love that. Encourage all of our listeners, go check out Kendra's website at girlmeansbusiness.com, and also check out the podcast, Girl Means Business. Kendra, it's been great to dive into this conversation a little bit deeper. And I really hope that this conversation, and also that the resources and coaching you provide, can help some of our audience to take that next step, whatever the right next step is for them, that they can make that happen. So Kendra, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Business Storytellers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.